What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Fight Network's Downtown Studios. This is Five Rounds. I am John Ramdean. He is Robin Black. And first things first, I know we really haven't talked about the fallout of UFC 207 and everything that went down this past Friday night in Las Vegas, Nevada at the T-Mobile Arena, the main event, the Women's Bantamweight Championship on the line. We saw the return of Ronda Rousey. Amanda Nunes just smashed right through her. Did you anticipate that this could be one of the outcomes? Like, when you think of, okay, what Ronda Rousey are we going to get? Are we going to get a Ronda Rousey that just closed herself off from from everybody and decided to just work on improving as a martial artist? Or is it somebody that's been mentally fragile in the game of mixed martial arts, just refused to acknowledge anything and said, I've done this before, I can do it again?
Yeah, I think it was that. You didn't know. I mean, we discussed it going in. It's like, couldn't you just see Ronda getting in there, getting a hold of her, throwing her down, getting her arms? And we're like, yeah, we could see that. And it's like, couldn't you see Ronda going in there and just getting beaten up? And you're like, yeah, I could. And then you start to see her and she's coming into her own. But, you know, it's a tough one. I did a Ask Robin Black podcast on Saturday and I didn't even talk about it. So what was there to really say? You know, she went in, she got smashed. And, I did talk about, we talked about today, yesterday and beyond, you know, and personally is you're here and in many ways, so Ronda Rousey, you're here. You're like an incredible athlete. No comparison. Alex Davis is a very good athlete, but Ronda Rousey is like a lifelong Olympic athlete. No real comparison there. Your ability to grab and throw and grapple and armbar is here. The rest of the divisions is here. And your ability to close the distance and get a hold of somebody is here. And the rest of the division's ability to do anything about it is here. And that's the part that changed. Their ability to do anything about it became here, and your ability to close the distance stayed here. They could stop you from grappling. Holly did it. They could maintain the distance and punch you, and they could realize, I don't need to panic when Ronda's coming at me. I just need to move my feet, break off the clinch, punch her in the face. That's always been true, always. But you didn't have the ability to do it, didn't have the skills to do it. Her ability to just get to you and get a hold of you was so much better than the average, than the division's maximum ability to stop her. That changed in a year, and she did not.
What is the answer to that for Ronda Rousey? As she's entering, she has to be able to slip and counter, get off on angles for her to be able to grab a hold of you. What is the foil of everybody else out there for Ronda Rousey, considering they now have the formula for her?
She needs – this was something we talked very much about coming in. It's like – so the formula – it's exactly as you described, and it's a recipe, a formula, a stew, whatever you want to call it. We can hit you coming in. We can move away from you. We can move away and hit you. We can move our feet, make you chase, hit you if it takes a round and a half like it did for Holly, or we just get down to business as you come in like it did for Amanda. We can do that. We know how to do it. Amanda wasn't quite there like Holly was after a lifetime of boxing, but she had a year and a half to get there, and she went there and beyond. Ronda, on the other hand, had a year and a half to answer that. Her own movement, her own lateral movement, head movement, playing in the space, understanding the space in between. For Ronda, all of her fights was, I'm here and I need to get hit there.
I just get through
and
there.
And I get there. The answer, everybody else was like, yeah, but in here, I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to maintain this space. I'm going to make different angles on this space. I'm going to break your grips, and I'm going to beat you up. And Ronda had to have all those answers, and there's lots of them. The average fighter has lots of them. But she didn't do that because either they were just like, let's not worry about that. We'll get to her. We'll get to her old school. We'll get to her like we always did. And once we do, she can't touch us. Well, you didn't. You didn't develop the abilities. You know, there's lots of talk about her coach, mostly by people who don't know anything about coaching or fighting. Mm-hmm. But there are even, you know, there are certain things, broad stroke things, that you don't have to be all that educated to watch in her two performances and a couple of her boyfriend's performance. Travis, I keep calling him her boyfriend, Mr.
Travis
Rousey.
Brown.
Yeah, Travis Brown. He's a great fighter. He's a great athlete. He's more than who he dates. Same things. There are lots of evidence for educated coaches, fighters, analysts, whatever, and even people who are just, I watch fighting, and somewhere in me, I know that's not good. And so we're all kind of seeing that And if you're in an environment where you're like, don't worry, we don't have to spar, we just have to work on getting you in there and you'll win.
Because that was part of the talks, is that there's been limited sparring for Ronda over this past year and even in this training camp.
So what happens if she did spar somebody good, pretty good, like, you know, top 100 in boxing, sure, or kickboxing, number between
in
80
straight
and
boxing.
50, boxing and kickboxing,
sure,
now between number 100 and 150. Mm-hmm. Amanda Nunes would box with the 80th best boxer and she would lose.
Owned. Yeah.
But she would hang in there, mm-hmm, and she would learn a lot from it, and she would improve.
Yeah. Isn't that the job of, yes, all martial artists?
Yes. But what happens is if we are working outside of reality, and we've created a truth that we need to be true, we can't have that truth broken. You're unbeatable, Ronda. Nobody can stop you. You outwork everybody. You want it more than them. You have a champion's mentality. All of that can be disproven with a single sparring session.
But hasn't that throughout her entire martial art – like, this isn't somebody that's new to martial arts. This is somebody that went through the system of being a white belt to get her black belt and have competition. And there's been times I'm almost certain of it. Now, I haven't talked to Ronda Rousey, but there are days where she wakes up. She's good. I'm going to fucking kill everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw everybody,
yeah,
on their head. Nobody's in, yeah, this entire tournament's, yeah, going to be able to beat me. Oh, shit. How come I didn't get, yeah, the gold medal?
But you know what she did do? She had all the skills and attributes possible to go with that mindset to win almost all the time. And when she lost, she got better. She has not been equipped with those skills in the reality of late 2016 women's fighting. The level of that ability, and it's a very, when you care like about the thing, you know, so much, and fighters do, and we do, and coaches do, and fans do, and people watching the show, watching a show where two dorks sit around talking about, they do. You almost wish you could help people really see it. And you almost get frustrated when they don't. They're like, see, she was always bullshit. Hmm. Just put on the Amanda, put on the Alex fight, put on the Sarah Kaufman fight,
yeah,
put on the Katzengano fight.
No,
that,
yeah,
shit was all real.
Real. Yeah.
That shit all happened. All of it. You know, all of it. It's real. But she's still that. And, you know, it was interesting. So, you know, between us and the average person who trains some jiu-jitsu or kickboxing or anything, did an amateur MMA fight, whatever, they've had lots of different coaches in their life.
Yeah, of course.
And that's the nature of it. And that's the nature of most of the higher-level people. Not all of them. John Jones has only had a couple of coaches in his life, and once he found the one, he stayed with it. But so one of my very favorite coaches, I learned a ton from him about fighting and about mindset, Billy, my coach, my boxing coach,
yeah,
Billy Martin. And we were texting during the fight, or before the fight. And
this Ronda,
yeah,
fight.
Yeah, he said, what do you think? I said, man, she's in crazy shape. And he said, I'm sure she just – he was sort of saying that's a reflection of – I want it more. I can be in better shape. So on some level, she's understanding, well, fine, I'm just going to control what I can control. What I can control is outwork everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be in better shape.
Yep.
I will have worked,
yep,
harder. If they did 20 hours a week, I did 35. I ran harder. I lifted hard. That, because that's what made her a winner. And so she came in with that body, reflective of that work. But you don't know what the work is. And what the work wasn't was dealing with the very place that you're going to beat Ronda Rousey. And they couldn't do it before, and they can do it now. So her job is get good enough there to win that space, and it can be done. People who hate her,
of
like,
course,
you know, she, you know, even my a friend Morgan, who is a boxing guy today, was like, he was joking about somebody. It's like, his boxing is as good as Ronda Rousey's. I get it. She doesn't have those skills in there. This is a person who can learn anything. This is like anybody. But the goal and the key would be to just say, it's never too late to jettison what's not working. It's never too late to change. That's partly why you don't change, is you're like, I've invested all this time in this,
yeah, yeah,
relationship, in this thinking, in this thought process. It made me a champion. I can't deviate now. Oh my God, what if I have to start over with a new system and a new – that's what you have to do. You have to start over. You have to go in and go get beat up in the gym. You get beat up in the gym for 2 or 3 weeks straight and you go, holy shit, I can't believe I've been deceived. But I'm not good in certain areas. I'm world class and beyond in certain areas, mm-hmm, and not in others. And historically, if you're not good there, eventually the game figures it out. You know, it's like, what do we say? The market knows who the fuck is the best.
Yeah.
The market knows.
Dictates.
The market.
It's true.
I mean, when we, and I'm not trying to toot our own horn, we could use anybody, we use anything. But when you start something and 1,000 people watch it, then 2,000, and then 4,000, and then 8, and then they share it, and then it's 15,000, and people talk about it. The market said, yeah, this is pretty good, because there's 1,000 other things that don't grow. And the game is the same way. The game knows when you're lying, and the game knows when you're real. And if you're not real somewhere, the game will figure it out. And if beating Ronda Rousey is what makes you rich and powerful in this sport, mm-hmm. the game will figure out how she can be beaten, and you'll ride that.
Does Ronda really have to start over in the sense that can't she just look back at her accomplishments and say, wow, I fucking achieved a lot with – a certain skill set that I had. Now, as a martial artist, as somebody that believes that they're evolved, I'm loaded. All of that success has now got me to a point where I don't ever have to fight again.
Yeah.
And what, like right now, Ronda just fought. She does not have to fight for another year, and she'll still make millions of dollars upon her return. Mm-hmm. Now, because of that, can she not say, you know, based on the strength of everything that I've accomplished at this point, now I get to just focus on these things to grow as a martial artist?
If she chooses to. The best part always about fighters not needing the money or needing the fame or needing anything, she doesn't even want to be out in the public anymore. And I do not blame that woman one bit. Because, I mean, when you type that you hate her, you feel from a personal standpoint that she's arrogant or, you know, whatever. I mean, who she – whatever you do. If it was only you, she'd be like, oh, that guy hates me. But when it's thousands and hundreds of thousands of people spewing hate at you, you're – as an individual, you're like, she was a bitch. I'm going to express that. See, that'll show her. But it's like she was a bitch – and 100,000 people express that all at her in all different directions. You would hide too. Everybody would. When I met Justin Bieber, man, that guy was really, really suspicious of everybody. And when I met him, I was like, hey, you know, your dad works in the fight business. How do you know? You know, like, and I didn't think Justin Bieber's being a dick. Yeah. I was like, all I could feel is this guy's suspicious because everywhere he goes, somebody wants to get their hand in his pocket. They want some money off him. They want to pitch him something. Some people spit on him when he's wandering through. Ah, the guy's like, spit on him. And they think, see, I showed him. But if it was only you, that wouldn't be a big deal. But it's thousands and thousands and thousands of you. So the guy was so shell-shocked. And you look at it and be like, well, she's rich or he's rich.
Yeah.
Their lives are shit.
Mm-hmm.
Until they can work out the understanding that it doesn't matter what people you don't know think. That isn't you. They aren't reacting to you. In your who you are, here's 100% of who you are. They've seen 0.00001% of who you are. They've seen minutes and seconds of your lives of years and years and years. And in those lives of years and years and years, as you've given money to things, taken care of things, protected people, taken care of your family, been kind to cab drivers and hundreds of thousands of wonderful things that you do all day, all the time.
Irrelevant.
Irrelevant, because they saw you not shake her hands and call her a bitch in combat, under stress, scared. And people make a judgment, and then they wander through. I don't blame her. I don't blame her for never talking to the world of MMA ever again, because the regular audience doesn't hate Ronda Rousey. When we wander through the world, what did people say? What happened?
Yeah.
How did that happen? How did she?
Yeah.
Why did it happen?
She's such a huge star. Like, I didn't even realize this. That so my wife went and got her hair done on Saturday. So the fight was Friday night at a hair salon.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not. The picture I have in my head, and I've been to hair salons before. It's all women there.
Yeah.
She said when she was sitting down, that's what people were talking about in the hair salon, Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey's good for the sport.
Yeah.
She opens it up for everybody.
But the thing about it that people don't get oh man, she's not talking to the media. She's just not talking to this niche that has turned on her, and hates her. And I wouldn't either. Neither would anybody.
But she should talk to us.
Yeah.
She should talk to us.
She can't differentiate between us and the others.
Find the good ones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, but the rest of the world, like if she goes on Ellen and all those people in the hair salon, they're like, what happened, Rhonda? Are you okay? You know, we love you, Rhonda.
Yeah.
And that's, so why would anybody, I mean, in my life, as just a guy like talking about fights occasionally, in the 10 years I've worked in it, I come in and one website is like, this guy sucks. It's always something about dating men, which is not an insult. If you have friends or family members that are gay, why on earth would you be offended by somebody calling you gay? So that doesn't bother me. And then that guy's on coke and that guy sucks. That guy can't fight. And so one website will do it. So I never go to that website.
Yeah.
Never go to that website. And then you go through life. Yeah. You have a fight. Oh, that guy's another website. So these little pockets of the world get this virus of hate. And I've literally.
I feel bad for those people though. Like,
Of course you should.
I think to myself that, wow, that's what you're spending. Yeah. You're so angry and amped up that you have to, I got to put it all in caps and there has to be a shitload of exclamation points at the end so everybody knows that I think this bald idiot is a fucking idiot.
But you've been, that person's been literally triggered. That's the term they use now, but that's a real medical term. That like you literally go from being, you know, making choices and thinking to the screaming monkey mind. That's real. That's a real psychological thing that happens to people.
And I feel bad for people.
Because in tiny bits, it's like, oh shit, sure dog hates me. Cool. And then also, man, I just wanted to do this thing. Mm-hmm. If anybody reacts in any way to the fact that I'm doing this, that's just cool. And it's like, well, that one hates you. And then you go through life and, oh man, this guy's one of the best analysts. Yeah. And then this one does. And, you know, they catch a virus that, and then they spur each other on. It's not just hate of Ronda Rousey or you or me. Once some of these communities become septic, everybody leaves. And there was once, and shout out to the Underground, one of the great, they pioneered mixed martial arts media. They were there in the dark ages. Kirik is one of the kindest, like one of the most, he loves fighting on such level. He's always been kind to us. But they went through their period where literally, you know, fighters, they had all the fighters, Rogan would be on there, Bravo was on, hundreds of people. Yeah, yeah. And over time they all left. Because why would they stay in a place that people who hate are louder and more compelled to keep doing it? And eventually regular people, they don't like or support as passionately as people hate. So they just flee the interface. They flee the community. And that happens everywhere. And our entire mixed martial arts community, all of those little websites, not just, oh, that guy's a fag on Sure Dog and then that one and one year at a time and then later that one likes you again and Rogan rules and then the same website later, oh man, that guy's a shill. These moments of living, breathing hate and appreciation and sanity and insanity happens, but all of them simultaneously all she feels is hate. And yes, I know there are people watching this now go, I love Rhonda. Mm-hmm. I hope she does well. John Jones just said nice things about her. LeBron said he's, but for every one or two of those that are saying, you go get him, Rhonda, there are 100 whose
louder
passion for hate is louder than the
people's love and support.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're her, of course you're never going there. You're never going there. Why would you? You don't need them. And they're like, you owe it to us. Fuck you. I don't know. You shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I came along. I brought all women into this thing. I grew this sport. I brought in all of these other people. I gave you thousands of hours of interviews. All of us. Every one of us. And it's not your fault or my fault or pick anyone. It's not Sure Dog. It's not, you know, it's nobody's fault. It's just what happened. And now she's like, fuck you. I don't want to go there. You know? If any one of these single communities in them, they think that they're the world. You know, if you're sitting there in whatever it is and that's where you are all day, you think that's the world. You'll be like, oh man, Rhonda sure fell. You know, like look at her fall from grace. What a bitch. You know, like or whatever. The rest of the world doesn't feel that way.
I know.
So she's just going to avoid you and go where there's love and support and regular people who don't passionately hate you.
Yeah.
So it's logical, right? It's logical.
When I looked at Ronda Rousey's return, because that she refused to address the media or anything, anybody, just the UFC doc, she could have gone to the UFC and said, you know what? I want to address my fans through the UFC.
Yeah. Or Fox, something like ESPN.
Yeah, exactly. Something where I'm in control of this and you support me on this. She could have done that. So I felt that I would see the type of performance that I saw from Ronda Rousey on Friday night, because she didn't address those things. And what I was hoping is that after losing her second fight in a row ever in her life, that she would finally say, oh, wow, I thought I had a handle on things. I thought all the pieces of the puzzle were in place. Maybe it's time for me to make a change and make a move. And we've seen so many people out there reach out to Ronda Rousey, the Greg Jackson camp, Mike Winklejohn's camp, John Jones, all saying, hey, come to this MMA family. We know what you're capable of. Let's try to build this together.
They've even done it politely, like, hey, bring Edmund.
Yeah.
You know, he's welcome here too, which is a nice way. What she needs to do is see that there's different. It isn't just, let's get in and hit the pads today. Oh, your right hand looks so good. You need to see that. I mean, Greg Jackson, the level that he's thinking on, the level that he's seeing on, it isn't this is a punch and you step over here. It's game theory. It's game trees. It's flow charts of possibilities. It's military strategy.
Yeah.
It's you know,
the whole scope.
Yeah, like aircraft military engagement strategies. Like it's. And it's real because he's treated it like a science. He studied it for his lifetime. And if you keep, and like, you know, Dwayne, when we were talking to Ludwig, he's like, you go and you see it till it is what it is, and then a new layer appears to you eventually. And you test your hypotheses and you experiment and it's real. And you can't get there from here. You can't get there from this. You can't get there from, let's do more drills. You can't get there from, you know, don't worry, we're going to do thousands of right hands, because Ronda did thousands of right hands. That's why she looked like that. It wasn't a lack of training. That chick trained. Mm-hmm. You can see it. Repetition, drilling. It's just the knowledge.
The nose dirty. Getting the nose dirty.
And the knowledge and the understanding. If you are, you know, if you're running a play in football from the 1950s in the 1970s, you're going to get murdered. And she's going out and running plays that are from 2015. And it's 2017, and it has changed 8 times since then. The understanding has changed 8 times since then. So everything she did was real. And when people talk, when you saw her take out people, great, great, brilliant fighters, Olympic silver medalists and jiu-jitsu, you know, masters and Alex, Kat, Sarah, these are the greats, but they're all way better than they were a year and a half ago,
right.
And she might not beat them now because she's not better than she was in the areas that count.
When you look at Amanda Nunes right now, quite the impressive run in the UFC. What is this? 7-1 in the UFC. The lone blemish coming against Kat Zingano. But look at these wins. Jermaine Durandamy, who's going to be fighting for the 145-pound championship.
That'll be fun.
Sarah McMahon, Olympic silver medalist. Valentina Shevchenko. Yeah.
Kickboxing world champion many times over.
Amisha Tate, former Strikeforce and UFC champion. Ronda Rousey, former Strikeforce and UFC champion.
Yeah.
Quite the impressive run on Amanda Nunes.
It's real.
That's all real. So how does she capitalize? Everybody's trying to, okay, what's going to work? Well, how do I become the star that Conor McGregor is and Ronda Rousey? Now, I understand there's some people out there that are just stars.
Yeah.
We believe that Paige VanZant is one of those those characters.
The numbers on Fox support that.
People
wanted to watch her after they saw her dance and jump with a double kick.
Exactly.
And after she lost, they'll want to see her next time too.
So if you're Amanda Nunes, how do you become a star on that level? You have those two victories over Misha Tate that people saw at UFC 200 and this huge fight at UFC 207. Do you try to target a specific group of people? She's a lesbian. Do you target that community?
Sure. I mean, if you represent a people of any kind, a background, a belief system, in that case, an entire community, a sport, a hobby, a background, you're from the military, sure. You can do
exactly.
that. Sure, that's all valuable. But none of that gets you 1.5 million people just talking about you in hair salons.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. And I don't think you care. I think if you talk to – and how many people – where were we? Was it Quebec, I don't know where, oh, Montreal, Demetrius Johnson was fighting Hargucci.
Johnson, yeah, Montreal.
Yeah. And people kept asking him over and over, hey, you know, what are you going to do to sell pay-per-views? And we're like, oh my God, I can't believe these guys keep asking him that. Why the fuck would he know anything about selling pay-per-views? He's a professional prize fighter, one of the great ones in the world. And then they would ask Matt Hume, and Matt Hume, and off camera, he said to us, he's like, fuck, I don't know. He said, DJ knows I'm just going to be asking him about this and whatever. It's part of his job. He said, but the UFC said, keep winning and we'll
Because
keep
they the, asked that yeah. question. They yeah. said, like, what do we need to do?
Yeah,
to
is there something else we should be doing?
They're yeah. like, yeah, like, just keep winning.
Keep winning. It's our job to educate the audience. And at some point, we'll succeed in that job. And it's the same for Amanda Nunes. The worst is the people who try to suddenly, like, do the TV, and it just doesn't work. There's thousands of people trying it and hundreds of thousands on YouTube, and most of them don't break through because it's actually a separate thing. And most of us don't get to choose. Dan Cormier, in my opinion, is one of the sweetest guys, one of the great fighters, a brilliant mind. I find him incredibly likable. And for some reason, people will boo him. You don't get to control that. And so you just let it go. Cares. I'm going to be the best fighter in the world. I beat Misha Tate in a couple of minutes, and Ronda Rousey in under a minute, and I'm going to beat the rest of you. And Max Holloway, same thing. He's
same
like,
thing.
I will defend the interim belt as long as it takes, because I was willing to fight everybody all the way up. Didn't get my due. I'll smash everybody who wants for this thing. Then I'll. That's what you can control. You can control being so good and getting better every day and being more capable of fighting. Do control the things you can control, because as soon as you go off and start obsessing over things you can't control, you lose sight on the actual prize, which is growth and greatness and chasing mastery of what you do.
Luckily for Amanda Nunes, her partner in life, Nina Ansarov, also a mixed martial arts competitor. It's like Gilbert Melendez and his wife, Carrie Melendez. She's a fighter, so they both understand the same process. They both understand
what
they
work need. Together.
Yeah,
when she goes to her girlfriend and says, I'm going to need to... Oh, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't even have to
She's
finish.
Already had it set up
hey,
for
So they're talking about a fight in 12 weeks. She knows what that means.
Yeah.
You don't have to... I might go off to this place. We're going to bring in these people. You know, my diet's going to... She knows.
Yeah.
So that is a powerful thing. Well, and for sure, you know, you do... She doesn't want to do anything but get better. But if there's a bit of time and your coaches say, we need you to take a week off, you're going to go do a media tour in Brazil. And if there are some gay and lesbian sites and magazines and stuff that want to talk to you, by all means, go out there and represent.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But at the same time... I wouldn't target any of that shit if I was the best fighter in the world. I'd be the best fighter in the world. And if you're good, I mean, she's had to have made some money now between pay-per-view points on UFC 200.
Yeah.
And they said she got a couple hundred grand. She got pay-per-view points on her own. She's made millions.
Yeah.
So you can bring in when a millionaire athlete world champion calls up the best company in the world and says, or her friend does, says, hey, you know, Amanda Nunes, who's that? She just beat Ronda Rousey. Oh, okay. Yeah. We got to, and let them do their thing. Her thing is to be the better and better of a fighter. Go out there and do the damn thing. You don't have to figure out how to talk, how to dress, how to do any of that. You got people for that. And if it doesn't work, just keep smashing fools and it'll take care of itself.
What's interesting about this whole situation with Amanda Nunes and her partner, Nina Ansarov, I'm sure Amanda Nunes believes that part of her success is due to her partner's contributions. Training at American Top Team, we saw at the post-fight interview, Amanda Nunes says, Nina Ansarov, she's going to be the next 115-pound champion.
That's super cool.
She did say that. But Joanna Jędrzejczyk now trains at American Top Team. How would a dynamic like that work? Like, you're building up something, and then a foreign invader comes to your home gym in your weight class. Of course, as American Top Team as a business, it's like, of course, I'm sorry. It's great that you've spent so much time here. This is the champion. This is a higher profile thing.
For sure. And the truth is, you can say that all you want, but a discussion happens. And, hey, Joanna, what do you think of Ansarov? Well, she's not that good. How she is a training partner? Really good. How she is a person? Seems really nice. If she were to get good enough to one day challenge you, I'm not worried about it. That would be her. You can handle it any way you want. Rashad Evans didn't handle it super great with John Jones when he came in. They brought him in, said, hey, he's the future. Then he got it, you know. How you react to things is your controllable. It's what you can control. So Joanna looks at it and goes, tries her out, spars a little bit and goes, not too worried. Let her train with us. A year later, you check it. She got a lot better, but so did I. Actually, I spent, and maybe the relationship takes shape how it does. Ain't nobody beating you at it right now. But then on the other hand, it's like, well, do I want to help make somebody better who might one day beat me?
Yeah, right.
Maybe I do. Maybe it'll make me better. You know, maybe it'll, and if it doesn't, I'll make it obvious to her that she's not in my caliber. So it's all really up to you. It's up to the fighter. It's up to both fighters and the coaches. And sometimes they can go, hey, let's do it together. If we ever meet, it'll be for the title. Shake hands,
yeah,
hug,
right.
And you're good.
Understand that it's all part of the game. You got it.
Yeah.
It's the heart business, right?
Yeah.
The co-featured bout at UFC 207, we saw an incredible, event go down with Cody Garbrandt really shocking. I would expect the entire mixed martial arts world.
And
because,
he went educated.
Like, Chase believed, he was really hoping that Garbrandt would get the second round knockout. He said Chase, did you believe that it would be, if it went five rounds, that Garbrandt
would win round
of
three,
course.
Four, and five.
Yeah. There's no evidence of that. But what mixed martial arts has taught us that, just because there's evidence doesn't always mean it's true.
Just because there's no evidence doesn't mean it's possible. So there was no evidence he could do it, but what he would say to you, or his friends and his teammates and his coaches would be like, you haven't seen what this kid can do. You haven't seen. Like, if you saw Ramdeen Black, if you came into our gym for like 3 days and saw what this kid can do, I know you guys know fighting, you'd look at that and go, holy fuck.
But the thing is this, we've talked to Chris Weidman, and he's told us a million times, if you've seen John Volante in the gym, this guy is a savage. Mm-hmm. He just takes everybody apart. Like the way Chris Weidman, I understand they're boys,
but Chris isn't a liar or an actor.
Exactly.
You look into his eyes and he's like,
he believes this.
Yeah, yeah.
So why is it that some fighters can perform a certain way in the gym and they perform a other way inside of the cage? And then for Cody Garbrandt, based on
it all came together.
I guess that's all it is. It just came together because we've seen him go the distance before, three rounds, and he didn't look like that.
No, he went the distance against Enrique Briones, who would be about number 80 or 100 bantamweight in the world, and I think he lost round two. It was an important fight for him to go in and dig and win round three, and it's the type of fight you're like, one day this guy's going to be really good. Not
today's
one day, like in 17 months, he's going to slay Dominic Cruz. So there was no evidence that was possible. But I think there's going to be more of this going on. I think, and we've talked before, we're heading off. We've still got five rounds next week that we're going to do. So we will chat about some of this. But there's prospects. We're going to go call TKO on Fight Pass in Montreal. There are and live on Fight Network. There are prospects in the world right now, not one or two of them, a lot of them, who can beat top 15 UFC fighters in their third fight.
Yeah.
There are guys like that. So there are also guys in the gym. You know, fight number one in the UFC, you look pretty good. Fight number two, you knock out John McDessie. What can you do in fight number three? You know what? Those
Crone Gracie beating in his fourth professional mixed martial arts fight, taking out Tatsuya Kawajiri this past weekend at the Ryzen show in Japan. Kawajiri has like 50 fights,
exactly. So we have to be ready for this new reality. Garbrandt opened our eyes, gave us all this new information. It's like, I know this. And then Garbrandt goes, holy shit, now I know this is not, now I know this. We got to figure this out. We got to figure it out quick because it's changing fast. Is he an anomaly? Not judging by what we're seeing coming up from the prospects. We're seeing guys coming up that, you know, in 3 years, it could be all guys you've never heard of, just a whole new surgence of them. So we didn't know. We could have never known. Will DJ or John Jones lose in the next 2 years? Maybe not. But if and when they do, we'll have the same reaction. It'll be somebody you're like, the Horiguchi can't beat. Horiguchi just beat him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So a lot of these truths are becoming untrue. There's this book I'm reading, Black Swan. A lot of people have read it. I just started it. But the synopsis of it essentially is all over the world for decades, people had seen swans, thousands and thousands of swans. They're white. All swans are white. Swans are white. What color are swans? White. You know, scientists describe, you know, that's a fact. You go to Australia, they're black swans. You just by not exploring, not ever seeing that little piece of information over
that's
there,
what you think.
The limited, what you're missing in information changed everything. Swans are white. That's a fact. Oh, wait. We just went to this new island. Oh, no, there's black swans. You don't know. You only have the information that you have. There are limits to our knowledge based on what we see. Do we think that Rhonda's coach is not a good coach? Have we seen evidence that he's not? We have. But what about the other 99.9976385% of the time that we don't see him? Mm-hmm. Now, what matters is performance in the time. That one. The other one is Rhonda Rousey's an arrogant bitch. What about the other 99.997358% of her life that she is a sweet, wonderful daughter, sister, yeah. A girlfriend, friend, aunt, niece, give money to people, training partner? You don't see that. No. So all of those black swans you can't see.
People just assume, though, that with that chunk of time that you've been exposed to somebody, that's what they are. That she is just the worst person to be around 24 hours a day.
I know this sounds – it's not meant to be rude or judgmental, but you have to at least consider what your role in thinking mm-hmm. that is. You know, if you say one bad thing and people will be like, John Ramdean showed his true colors – that person thinks that somewhere in them they have true colors that isn't what's being seen, even though you don't. You know what I mean? People project that. Like, if you are looking for the worst, and when you see the worst, you think that's all somebody is, you have to ask yourself why you see that. You know, it's a shame, but I hope this woman goes and lives her life. And I hope that if this entire community has become septic with hate, and then their answer to that is, yeah, but she brought it on herself, not understanding that nobody brings anything on themselves. Why was she weird or angry or violent or cocky or whatever? Out of fear or insecurity. You know, that's why people, if you go through the world seeing somebody and you see the worst and you go, they're a terrible person, you can go through the world, see the worst and go, this person's probably hurt or scared or just like me, insecure. Your life's going to be a lot fucking happier if you think that way. It really is.
We saw kind of the passing of the torch, or did we, with Cody Garbrandt and Dominic Cruz. Will we see a stronger Dominic Cruz? Will we see a new and improved Dominic Cruz after Cody Garbrandt pushed him to a place that he's never been before? And that's kind of the theme on the combat sports calendar. Coming up later this month, January 15th, BJ Penn makes his return to the octagon as he takes on Yair Rodriguez. Also, the co-featured bout, Brian Caraway, who's been in this game for a long time, taking on Jimmy Rivera, who's also...
Rivera's very, very good. Undefeated still, right? Beat Uriah.
20-1. Basically.
But he beat Uriah.
Exactly.
In his last fight.
And then on top of that, Sergio Pettis, the younger brother of former lightweight champion Anthony Pettis, taking on John Moraga. So we're kind of seeing that new generation of mixed martial arts fighters.
There are people of the other one that can take on their white belt mentality and learn what these guys are learning and add it to what they have. So BJ Penn can come into this fight.
I feel he's one of those guys.
With everything he's always known plus all this new information, and look at it with the excitement of a white belt. Holy fuck. When he was a white belt and he got to week number 10, it all just desperate to learn everything. Hungry and just like was starving to learn it all. He can explore, especially by hooking up with Greg, he can explore the whole new world of things, hungry to learn it with that white belt mindset. If he has that, he can do that. And we're asking the exact same thing about Dominic Cruz and about Ronda Rousey. Slight different outcomes, but Dom was the greatest in the world, and somebody slipped in the back door and said, actually, I think I'm better than you, and I'll prove it tonight. That plateau, that reality... Dom might have thought he'd maxed out. This is my ceiling. But as soon as somebody flips a motorcycle 2.5 times instead of 2, actually half, you'd be on your head, 3 times instead of 2, everybody goes, oh, I can flip a motorcycle. If that's possible, I can do it. So it can force him to plateau. With Ronda, it's a similar thing, except for it's like, I just never changed, and part of the game did. Is that sad that it's over, or is that exciting?
Yeah.
You know, does that excite you? We can all take those lessons from it. I mean, nothing's impossible. People are like, is there any way Rhonda can come back from this? I'm like, was it you were telling me a story about somebody in their whole family and their village was killed and they were in a pile of bodies?
Oh, who was that? It was just a horrifying story.
I think he's a he's a speaker now or something.
But he ended up running.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He became
a runner.
A runner.
Oh, my
God. And so he's telling a story of his entire family and everybody he knows and everybody in the family being butchered.
In the village.
In the village being butchered. And as they piled them all up to burn the bodies, this man was in that pile and crawled himself out of the burning remains of everyone he had known. And he has become a champion in his life. Because if he can do that, we see people lose their families.
Oh, it's Tim Kennedy who was talking about it.
Tim Kennedy on Joe's show.
On Joe's show.
Was talking about somebody who turned his life
around.
If these people can do that, or you can lose your whole family, or you can be a six-year-old living on the streets and surviving, or there's thousands and thousands of examples of human beings overcoming things that, you know, a good friend of ours was, and that you grew up with, was in an accident as a young man. And when you see what he endured in his life, and we see it over and over again. And when you think in the context of people in war and famine and all of these things, and they go on to have these brilliant lives, of fucking course Ronda Rousey can turn it around and learn to box and go in and be the champion again.
And that's what we're hoping for Ronda Rousey. We hope that she comes back stronger than ever. That's another show in the books. Next week, we'll take a closer look at the return of BJ Penn and what he's meant to the world of mixed martial arts and combat sports. On behalf of Robin Black, Jeff Chan, Chase Kaiser, I'm John Ramdean. We'll see you guys next week on Five Rounds.